Coming up on Dig It.
How do you shake your algorithm up? Do you just shout at your phone and just sort of say, gardens, puppies?
That feeling when you projectile vomit. Next time I interview Gary Lightbody, Jenny, I'm definitely going to ask him about that. She's not come to a Snow Patrol gig since because she's still carrying the shame. Never told anybody that at all.
Well, well done, Joe. I think you've been very brave to share that story with us in the safety
Thank you.
Of the Dig
It's
It
fine.
Space.
I'm not going to regret it at all. Yeah, no, no one will ever bring it up or clip it up.
Oh, gosh.
All of that right after this.
Dig It is sponsored by Starling, the bank that helps you organise your money, build great habits and stay in control of your spending. We talk a lot on this show about how a great garden starts with a bit of a plan and the right environment. Well, money is the same. It's not just about what you have. It's about being intentional with it, how we choose to spend, save and plan. That's what really shapes the way we live.
That is so true. Being good with money isn't about being perfect. It's about building a relationship with your finances that actually works for you and your life. And that's what Starling is all about. They believe that with the right tools, anyone can grow those healthy habits.
One habit I found so helpful is separating your spending. It's that peace of mind of knowing exactly what's for the bills, what's for the fun stuff, and what's actually left over.
And that's a tool that Starling offers in their app. They call it Spaces. It's basically a pot of money sitting within your Starling current accounts, kept separate from your main balance, so you're never dipping into the wrong pot by accident.
I desperately need one for the garden. Anyone who knows me knows my plant budget can get, well, a little out of hand.
Exactly. And you can even create free virtual debit cards linked to each space, so you can only ever spend what you've planned to, making life that little bit easier.
Search Starling to find out more. Good with money starts here.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Hi, it's Monday. Welcome to another Dig In, all you diggers out there. We love knowing that you're watching or listening to us. Hi, Zoe, you okay?
I'm great, thanks. I'm in great spirits today. I mean, it may not last, so we should get on with it. No, I'm kidding. The weather is really helping at the moment, isn't it? I think it's like, hey, come on, it's a bit of summer.
There are flower festivals and garden festivals
yes.
looming, and we know that our diggers Ooh. Love all that. So it's kind of really exciting. Just whether it can rain or shine, we know we have those to go to and meet like-minded people.
And festival season.
Oh, yeah.
Just booked to go to We Out Here Festival, Giles Peterson's festival down in Dorset, Dorset Way, I think it is.
Yeah, lovely.
Yes, really excited. It's happening in August. Because there's no Glastonbury this year, I was like, oh, no. No. And then all the other festivals yeah. I can't make for various reasons. So we've managed to book one. So I'm really excited about that. Little treats, things to look forward to. That's what we need, Joe.
Yeah. We're doing Wilderness and Latitude.
Excellent.
I think they're one after another. But same friends. We go every single year. We do the swimming. We go and listen. I do a bit of DJing sometimes. David Byrne's going to be at Latitude.
David Byrne. Amazing.
Right. Let's crack on with our diggers because it's all about them, this programme. And Bex has been in touch. I'm wondering if you can help me with something that I'm struggling with. I'm in my 30s and I'm a mum to a lovely 3-year-old girl. I conceived with fertility treatment and I still can't make up my mind on whether to have another child. I'm just emerging from the difficult years of sleepless nights, of nursery sick bugs and adjusting to parenting life. And I'm so unsure whether I want to go back to that. My husband works away a few times a year and I have my mum around as my only family. So the village is quite sparse. That said, I also worry about having an only child. As an only child myself, I worry I'll regret not going for a second. Now you're on the other side of the tricky years, do you think it's worth it to forge ahead and get through the chaos? I sometimes wish that I could use a time machine, see how my life could look in 10 years to help me make a decision. I'd be so interested to hear your thoughts and also the thoughts of your listeners. So Diggers, over to you. What do you think about this? You know, only child going for it again. What are your thoughts? Zoe, what do you reckon?
Oh, it's an impossible question almost, isn't it? I always wanted to have two kids because I loved the idea that they would always look out for each other and that, you know, they could call each other and go, God, mum's crazy, help me. And you've always got that backup. I adore my brothers. You know, they are so wonderful. They're always there for me. We're there for each other. I love all my nieces and nephews. But I also was an only child for quite a long time and I loved it. And my son, Woody, was an only child for 10 years. And then Nell came along. And, you know, it's different in every household. There's part of me years later that wish I'd had four kids like you, Joe. I'm really blessed to have Woody and Nell, and they are amazing. But I do understand that thing. You know, there is something to be said for siblings. I think that's very special. But you don't have to have another baby, Bex, because it does sound like you have just about got yourself sorted there. And if your husband's away a lot and you've just got your mum for backup, do you want to go back to sleepless nights? And it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, Bex, it's one of those things that hopefully an answer will show itself to you. And I think there's arguments for both sides, because I've got friends who've just had one kid for various reasons, whether it's been complicated for them as a journey and they've been so grateful to have that one baby, or they've not been able to have others. And they're doing great and their kids are fabulous. And I know lots of my friends are only children and had a wonderful time. And then you find other people to share with. So the love you might get from a sibling, you get from your friends.
Only you know, Bex, only you will know, and you don't have to rush it. Obviously, if you've been through fertility treatment, you'll know the struggle and how it will have been very hard for you, I'm sure. And you'll be so grateful for your child that you've got. And it's probably quite daunting, the thought of going through that again, but only you will know. I mean, the chaos is real when you've got more than one child. It's like, it's really chaotic. And I think you either thrive on that or you don't enjoy that and you want some order in your life. And so maybe that's what you're like. Maybe that's the best option for you. You just want to really relish the time that you have with your daughter and really enjoy every single second that you have together and just be that little tight-knit family. But also if your family expands, it's really fun. It's actually quite hard work, I think, having one child on their own, because you will have had this with Woody and I had it with India, because she was 6 years before we got Jude. And you're forever playing games, you're forever like being the other sibling in the family in a way. Whereas when you've got more than one child, they play with each other and that takes the pressure off, and that's really handy. It helps having two kids close together, although it's really freaking intense and hard work. So there are arguments for both sides. Having lots and lots of kids was something I really, really wanted. And I'm so extremely lucky to have them. And I'm so aware of that. And I know that the struggle is very real for people who can't have kids. It's really hard. I don't know, Bex, to be honest with you. I think our Diggers will share their own experiences and share with us. And I think ultimately it'll come down to you about whether you feel ready to go for it all over again.
You see it in friends, don't you, when they're like, oh, here we go, back to nappies and sleepless nights. And sometimes a second child can come along and be so well behaved and slot into family life and be, you know, peaceful, and just, you know, it can make it quite, you're like, oh, it's easier second time around. But it's not always. I mean, if you're going traveling and you're everything you do, is it easy to do it with one child or is it easy with two? I mean, you've had four. How many little ones did you have all at one time?
So India was six when I had Jude, and then there's 2.5-3 years between Jude and Cass. So for a time they were just tumbling around all over the place with each other, and it was
sounds
just
great.
You know, it was delicious. You know, Bex, from my heart, I would say have as many kids as you possibly can. But I also know that fertility is not like that. So I know, you know, I'm lucky. But I have utterly enjoyed every single second of the chaos, and I've never found it too overwhelming. I've just kind of rolled with it, because maybe because I had chaos with my sister. I don't know. It's just something I've always been able to cope with, and it's just they make me laugh and I love watching them. I love seeing the relationship they have now that they're grown ups. It was Cass's birthday over the weekend, and And the boys were together. They didn't, there were no partners around or anything. And they made each other laugh so much. And there is just this kindredship between all four siblings. And they were just falling around laughing, private little in-jokes. And I'm on the outside feeling like, oh God, I don't understand what's going on between you, but I'm loving watching it. It's amazing. So I'm all for big families, but I am absolutely aware that that is not possible for everybody.
You're so right. Like Wu and Nell, just there was such a big gap between them for so, so long. But now they really are there for each other and they've learned from each other. And I've learned to be a better parent from watching them and learning from them. And I am so grateful that they have each other. So there is definitely something wonderful to be said for having siblings. I think so. You will never not take joy from them. It is just potentially quite a hard work. And if it's not that straightforward a decision for you, then that could be, make it more tricky. But Diggers, let us know your thoughts. How do we help Bex? Bex, what does your partner think as well? And what does your mum think? Mums are always very wise.
Are you following Dig It on Instagram? It's got all the best bits, behind the scenes, and loads of extra stuff we don't put anywhere else.
We've had another question from Kirsty. With a Y, it's important. I was chatting with my friends and we all agreed the internet now feels like a place where bad things happen rather than a place where good things happen. I used to love being online when I was younger. I miss that feeling. Where's your happy place online?
Ooh, I know what Kirsty means, because with Instagram, I used to love it. It was so enriching. There were so many different subjects that I'd learn about. It would be fashion, it would be culture, it would be cooking, it would be interesting people. And now I just get fed the same thing all the time. But the thing I really noticed is that there's so much death on there. I wake up, because I am that person who sleeps with the phone right near my pillow, and I just wake up in the morning, open my phone, and you see a person staring at you and you're like, oh God, they're dead. it's a place where there seems to be so many announcements of people dying, and it's relentless. And that, it just fills up so much of my feed. Maybe I'm just morbid. Maybe my algorithm is just morbid.
How do you shake your algorithm up? Do you just shout at your phone and just sort of say, gardens, puppies, I don't know, things like that, and then it'll change.
It seems to be a place where people grieve a lot now. So when there is, we've lost a lot of people over the last few years, and as soon as their death is announced, whether it's Catherine O'Hara, it's like a communal place for an outpouring of grief, and that's where we all go to now. And that didn't used to happen, so it has shifted, and it does. I do feel like there is a lot more bad and sad stuff on my Instagram feed than there ever used to be. But that's, I don't know, maybe it's just like newspapers. They've just become like newspapers, haven't they, really?
I guess so, yeah, where you're sort of faced with bad news all the time. On my Instagram feed, there are lots of people who make me laugh. I love any people who do dancing, people who write fabulous poetry. I really love Witty Idiot, who always writes very witty. I have no idea who Witty Idiot is. I think he's a comedian. But there are just people who, I obviously follow loads of gardening accounts and just, footage of gardening. I have lots of friends who share lots of nature stuff. So you get to see, there's like brilliant bird accounts, like Instant Birds, I think it's called, or Birds Instant. So you just get to see loads of wildlife and wonder. And there are lots of accounts you can follow, like Happy News, which will give you a load of really great things that are happening in the world. And I quite like people, who make me laugh out loud. I'm trying to think of any of those sorts of things now.
You can curate it, can't you, yourself, really, depending on who you follow. So you can purposely change it, I think.
Yeah.
Like you say, because you always post so many really funny clips, like old movie clips, and it's just seeking out, Kirsty. Just go on Instagram, because that is my happy place, and just look for the good stuff, look for the funny things, and delete all the accounts that make you sad and kind of bring you down a little bit.
I need to not have any 20-year-olds telling me how to apply my makeup, because I'm like, oh yeah, right, I need to do that, do I? I'm freaking 55. Why am I looking at this fantastic young person doing their makeup and feeling really bad about myself? I'm like, right, let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of these. I mean, I'm terrible. I'm like, oh, I'm going to follow this person, this nutritionist, this person. And sometimes I'm like, oh, enough of that. But there is good news. There is funny stuff to be found. Also, sometimes you just got to put it down. This weekend, it's like, put your phone down. and I read a book and I loved it. I read Steve Mason's book, which I talked about. Sometimes it's like, get out of there and get out there, outside, living life out of our phone. I mean, we do need it, don't we? Sometimes we just want to switch off and scroll and just escape for a little bit. But sometimes I do. It's like, put the phone down, pick up a book, you know, put the phone down, get outside, go for a walk, put the phone down, ring a friend, something like that, that just makes you feel so much better about life and the world. And especially at the moment, it's so grim. You know, it's all these unsolvable problems, all these crazy men blowing the world up. It's like there's so, you know, and people worrying about climate change and everything's doom and gloom. It's such a real problem, and we need to escape from that. That's why I love my garden, as I just get outside. Sometimes I just go for a walk. And even going for a walk, you can sit in a park and do a bit of people watching. And that's so much more entertaining. I love walking down the seafront and just seeing all the amazing people out there. People on dates, people roller skating, kids playing, dogs playing, kids in the sea. You know, all those things just like in the world outside of us, it's instead of being in there.
I'd be really interested to know how many, what people do, whether Instagram is for our generation and or whether anyone's into TikTok. I've never been on TikTok in my life. No. I wouldn't know how to, and I don't do it. Disco loves it. I mean, he's never off TikTok unless he's having a detox. But I think we all have our different happy places. And for me, it's definitely Instagram because of the images and the content. It can be really life enhancing if you choose the right things.
And I do learn things on Instagram as well, you know, especially with gardening related. There are things that I do learn that I'm like, oh, that's quite useful. And there are some people like really amazing nutritionists who have taught me about various things that I need to learn about that are quite helpful. So sometimes it is helpful. Yeah. Do you TikTok? I don't TikTok.
No.
Should I TikTok?
I don't know. I have not a clue.
I don't think I've got time.
I don't want to. I don't want to Snapchat. I don't want to Reddit. I don't want to TikTok. I don't want to do any of that.
No. And what's the other one? The one everyone used to do? I came off that one because it was so depressing.
Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, I came off those because I've found it aggressive and grim and people telling me how terrible I am. I'm like, oh God, I know that. I don't need you telling me that as well.
We can tell you that. It's fine.
Substack, however, we love Substack.
Yeah.
And Substack is great because you can find lots of your favorite people and they're writing stuff. So you're getting lots of great, you know, journalists, authors you like, comedians, all sorts of people, garden experts, people talking about mental health, really great people writing like proper long form articles. It's like the ultimate magazine. And you can kind of curate that as well, can't you? From the things that you are interested in, whether that be funny things, garden things, children's, you know, supplements, whatever it is. Or just people who have like a funny outlook on life that is refreshing. So Diggers, we'd like to know, what are the things you look at online? And are there any things that you look at online that we can share that bring you joy?
We're going to take a quick break for some ads.
But if you're keen to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, you can subscribe to The Potting Shed.
Yearly subscriptions get a free Diggit tote bag and Fothergill's Sow and Tell seeds.
Just click the link to subscribe in the show notes. Right, time for a break.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Recently, we discussed those moments of childhood shame that you cannot stop thinking about. Jenny's been in touch.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Zoe. It's Jenny here from Newport. Your episode on childhood shame stirred me to share an experience which flashes through my mind a few times a year and still makes me cringe 35 years later. I spent my childhood growing up in Northern Ireland and I attended the same school as Gary Lightbody and we were in the school choir together. One year when I was about 8 or 9, we had a school concert. It was quite a big event. The choir was singing, the orchestra were performing, and the teacher was there recording a video to sell copies and raise school funds. I'd been feeling unwell, and I told my mum, who just put it down to stage fright and sent me off to sing my heart out. I was a tall kid, and I had a lovely spot on the back row of the choir where I could see everyone and everyone could see me. And midway through a song, my aunt turned to my mum and said, "She doesn't look well." Just as I projectile vomited over 4 rows of choir kids, as well as the school orchestra. Here's where the added shame comes in. Now, there are different versions of events, but I've been told one of the girls fainted, fell backwards off a bench and hit her head, so an ambulance had to be called. And in the chaos of 60 kids trying to escape a sea of vomit, a boy slipped whilst holding his cello and the pin went through his knee, so another ambulance had to be called. I'm often reminded that at best, I vomited over 60 kids and cost the school hundreds in uncollected donations. And at worst, I was the cause of 2999 calls and I vomited over a Grammy Award-winning artist. I left the choir not long after that. The music teacher was never my biggest fan, but that night really sealed my fate. I'll never lose the shame. And whilst I love Snow Patrol, I could never bring myself to go to a gig for fear Gary would recognise me all these years later. My 10-year-old daughter's just got wind of this story and delights in sharing it with anyone who will listen. So the shame is not going anywhere. Thanks for lighting up every week with the podcast. I really do look forward to it every week. And do come and visit us in South Wales when you do your live shows. Much love.
Jenny.
God, you tell a good story, Jenny. You've got such a great delivery as well.
I know.
Such a good delivery.
And it's the extra little bit and the extra detail. The cello and the pin through the knee and the,
two ambulances.
And the slipping kick. I mean, it does. It sounds like something out of a comedy film, doesn't it? Like out of Mean Girls something or other.
Bridesmaids,
The waves of carnage over the vomit and then the also just that feeling when you projectile vomit and it, you know, when you try to stop it and then it goes through your fingers, it sprays even more and that going down the end of brass instruments and and do you remember those benches you used to have to stand on that you could carry and everybody standing in layers, you can just see it.
So precarious.
This is so good.
Next time I interview Gary Lightbody, Jenny, I'm definitely going to ask him about that. definitely. Do you remember being at school and this girl projectile vomiting? Her name is Jenny.
Yeah. She's not come to a Snow Patrol gig since because she's still carrying the shame. Oh, that is so, so good. You've got to ask Gary, because if he remembers that, we've got to get a voice note for Jenny, because just so good. Oh, Jenny, that's like a scene from a Richard Curtis film, isn't it? It really is.
I'm debating whether to tell this story, but I will tell this story. I remember going to assembly once at school when it was primary school for sure. And I was very shy, very quiet.
Little Joe Wiley.
Didn't like attention at all. Little Joe with a fringe that my mum savagely cut every...
I had one of those.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, you have the rows and if you're really young, you sit cross-legged on the floor, which is really painful. I don't know how I couldn't do that these days. You sit cross-legged on the floor and the assembly started. Mr. Hill was our headmaster and it went on and it went on and it went on. I wanted to do wee when I went into the assembly and I just thought, oh, it's okay, I can hold it. I'm a dead and ask a teacher anyway. And so I'm just sitting there and it went on and on. And I'm like, I really need a wee. I really need a wee. And then this puddle started to appear on the floor all around me. And I just remember sitting there going, Oh my God, what do I do?
I've wet myself.
I can't tell anybody. I can't tell anyone. I've just left a really big puddle. And then at the end of the assembly, we all got up and just kind of filed out of the room. And I just left behind this huge puddle of urine all over the floor, never mentioned it. And then the next day, again, the shaming. This is where, being told off. The next day in assembly, Mr. Hill stood there and he said, and just one final note. If ever you want to go to the toilet when you're in assembly, all you have to do is just get up and walk out and go to the toilet on your own. And I'm just sitting there dying of shame going, it was me.
Did the people sitting either side of you not notice?
I don't know, so I couldn't look anybody in the eye.
Oh, bless you, Joe.
Never told anybody that at all. awful childhood memory.
Oh gosh. You know, do we all wet ourselves at some point?
I was just too shy and too scared to put my hand up. I didn't know what to do. I was so young. I just thought, I can't leave because they'll shout at me. I can't say anything to anybody. I've just got to sit here.
My favourite thing with kids is when they're like, no, I don't need a wee. No, I don't need a wee. And they do the little hop, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I see my little nieces and nephews do it where you're like, Are you sure you don't want to go? No, I definitely don't need to go because they're having so much fun and they don't want to. They're just holding on to it. And then the inevitable happens. You're like, you did need a wee, didn't you? Oh, bless.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Anyway, when you're older, it's a different story, isn't it? When you wet yourself, you're just like, whoopsie.
It's, yes. I have to say, I haven't wet myself recently. So that's been good. I was... That Jenny story did almost make me wet myself. That's really funny. Well, well done, Joe. I think you've been very brave to share that story with us in the safety of the Digit space.
I'm not going to regret it at all. Yeah, no, no one will ever bring it up or clip it up.
No, you are not. Even though the, you know, the naughty school kid in me is so desperate to make lots of puns and jokes and jests and stuff. But I won't, because that would be very childish of me.
Joe Wee Wee. There we go.
But that may come back to haunt you that you shared that story with us. If anyone else has vomiting or weeing themselves stories, do share with us, because
childhood shame. Yeah.
We also have a voice note from Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Zoe and Joe. It's Julie from Eastbourne. I was listening to Joe talking about getting her new dog, and honestly, I was so envious. But then I thought of my own story and I wanted to share it with you and the listeners. Over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been going through some really tough times. Going through a long, protracted divorce, dealing with a poorly mum. And sadly, I lost my two dogs in the divorce. Unfortunately, I can't have a dog of my own because I work in the office a few days a week and it just wouldn't be fair. But I really missed having a dog on the days I work from home and at the weekends. So as a New Year's resolution, I went on borrowmydog.com and connected with a local lady who works long shifts as a nurse. I borrow her dog once a week and it's been amazing. Yes. We've developed such a lovely bond. She's a 4-year-old cockapoo called Honey, and I'm actually looking after her today while the lady's working. Oh. Having Honey's company has really helped me so much through difficult times, and I just wanted to share in case it helps any of your other listeners going through tough times. It's just been a really positive experience for me. Anyway, keep up the great work, ladies, and happy digging, fellow listeners. Take care. Bye.
Oh, aww. Julie, what a glorious thing. And I hope, you know, that you've found yourself in a happier place, Julie. It sounds like you've been going through an awful lot. Borrow my dog. What a great idea.
Genius. Absolutely genius.
Like therapy dogs, aren't they? Yeah.
When you're busy, all you want is someone to help out.
Okay, so I might sign up. I don't know how convenient it'd be for me to borrow Django or Goose, because you're quite a long way from me. So if I borrowed either of your dogs, I'd have them for at least a week, which I don't think would be very handy. Julie, thank you for sharing. See, there you go. If ever you thought, I can't have a dog, but I would love to borrow someone's dog and help somebody else out, and also have a furry one around to take on lovely walks or keep you company.
I think that is such a great idea, because loneliness, as we know, is a really big thing. And it's not practical to have a dog all the time. So it's just, thank you, Julie, is borrowmydoggy.com. You can just go there, have a look, see if there's anybody around you, any dog that you can just borrow for however short or long you need it for, and however will help other people. Borrowmydoggy.com.
Doggy, just in case you're wondering.
Finally, we've got a voice note from Laura.
Hello, I wanted to do a little message to all of the child-free auntie diggers that are listening to your fantastic podcast. I am Chocha Laura, Auntie Laura, to my sister's 3 kids, and Auntie Laura to all of my many friends' children. And I wanted to just say what a privilege it is to have this role in life. The reason why I wanted to get in touch is I was just listening to you both talking about your strong-willed daughters, and I felt compelled to say how fabulous it is that you have both created these strong-willed women in a world where we need to really, you know, have conviction in our boundaries and in our thoughts and beliefs, and in a world where women need to be able to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, very much.
And I just wanted to, I suppose, to share my experience being child-free, of what the role of an auntie can be to friends, because we're there not just for the kids, which is a precious commodity, because often or not, my sister will call and say she's getting frustrated because the kids won't listen to her or whatever. And when I tell them, the same thing, they listen because it's cool Auntie Laura, you know, yeah. saying the same thing to them. But also the role of just chatting to the mothers and just saying, don't worry about it. I know it's frustrating. I know it's hard for you to have had a fallout with your daughter because she's being unreasonable and it hurts your feelings or whatever. But it's good because she's pushing back and you're giving her the permission and the space to be a strong woman in a world that needs them. So a little ramble and a big shout out to all the other aunties out in the world, especially the child-free ones who are doing their mothering in a very different way. Thanks so much for the podcast. Absolutely love it. Bye.
Laura, what an amazing message. That's made me feel really emotional, actually. I know, me too.
Oh, God, me too. Aunties are very, very special, the role that they have in everyone's lives. But I think it's such a wonderful position to be in, to have that relationship with the child and with the mother as well. My auntie, I really, really appreciate her. I think she watches this. I'm not sure. She listens to my radio show. But with my mum being ill, it's been so good to have. I've always almost felt like she's a big sister, just to have her to talk to. It's been brilliant. And aunties are so important, especially the child-free aunties, those who have a really, really significant part in people's lives.
Yeah.
To be that person they go to, they go to gigs, to theatres, to have walks with, and just to offload and say things that they wouldn't be able to say to their mums or to anybody else. It's a really, really unique relationship, I think. So thank you for highlighting that, Laura.
My kids have some great aunties, some who are not related at all.
Yeah.
You know, and their uncles, who are just someone else to hear them and see them and also be support to me, you know, because you do when you're a parent and you're frustrated, and sometimes you've got to sound off to someone, oh, this has happened now, and they're doing that and they're being ungrateful and they're just being kids. And Laura, you're so right making that point, you know, that we're in a world now where we do need to teach our kids to be strong and wary and understand and be accepting, and some of the realities of life that they're going to face in the crazy world we're in. So that was an absolutely gorgeous message. And summing up as well there, I think the collective of our Dig It gang of everybody just getting in touch and wanting to share and having heard us talk about various things on the podcast and think, actually, yeah, I've got something to say on that. We really love hearing from you. We really do. And the diverse subjects that we cover and that you guys cover, be it emotional or funny, I think if you feel heard in our podcast, then that's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
It's a great support network with lots and lots of empathy. I think we both get private messages as well from people, and we try and reply to those when we do.
Yeah.
But just some of the stuff that we cover, I think, relates to quite unique situations, and it's really lovely to know there are other people out there going through similar things. And when we talk about it, that it means something to you. So thank you for those messages as well that come through. We just, we're really honoured to have a place in your lives.
Yeah, we really are. We should have a secret sign when we're out and about. I don't know whether that's Dig It or something. Because sometimes you see people and sometimes they come up and they get a chance to say hello. But I'm wondering if there's a secret side, although is that getting slightly secret society? That's a bit odd. No, maybe not. We don't need that. But I just like that idea of being,
it's a bit Freemasons. Let's not do that.
That woman is actually pulling some weird sign at me. Also, can I just say, if anybody knows a very nice young man called Ben who works at a pub in Hove called The Urchin, if you are Ben's mum or dad, he served us in the pub on Saturday night, and we had the most amazing meal. It's like seafood. It's really good. And then at the end of the night, he'd brought the bill. He'd gone so over what you expect of your waiter and your pub staff. He was amazing. And then right at the end, I'd paid the bill, and then he went, can I get your autograph? And I think I'd had a very strong Bloody Mary at that point. And I feel like I sort of said to him, are you fucking taking the piss? But I don't think I did say that. But I think I was so shocked that this really cool lad wanted my autograph. I was a bit like, are you being serious? And then I left the pub and I thought, oh God, was that really rude? And I did sign it, Ben, you're awesome, from Zoe. But I just came home and I thought, oh God, I think I've been really rude. I was just really surprised. And it was a pub full of really fantastic, young, cool people. And if Ben's mum is listening to this, you should be very proud of your son. He's amazing. But also, I must go there again and just be like, I hope I wasn't rude. Are you fucking taking the piss?
Oh, I'm sure he got it. I'm sure he got it.
People don't ask for autographs, you know. That's not something that happens to me anymore.
No, they don't. He's probably got it tattooed on him now.
I don't think so. He probably thought I was you, Joe.
No, I don't think so.
He's looking at it going, does that say Joe Wiley?
All right, we'll say goodbye, shall we?
Yes, shall we?
And see you on Wednesday.
I will see you on Wednesday. Have a terrific week. Hope life's going swimmingly for everybody and that everyone's enjoying a nice little bit of weather if you're getting it.
And get in touch. Don't be shy. Let us know what's going on for you. Any nonsense that's going on in your world, anything that you feel like we need to talk about, stuff we need to address. We just really, really enjoy hearing from you. So head to the show notes and we look forward to your voice notes. They're really nice because it's lovely. You hear our voices wanging on all the time, but it's really nice to hear your voice notes because you're all very cool. Everybody we ever meet, you are super cool, all of you.
Can't stop thinking about Jenny and the projectile vomit and Gary Lightbody.
Yeah.
And that kid with the cello.
Message him now. I'm going to ask him now. All right.
Okay. Too good.
Take care.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Hello, podcast listener.
Hello, you.
It's me, Greg James.
And me, Alice Levine.
Now, look. I know that you're very much enjoying this podcast that you're listening to, and we're sorry to interrupt. We really are.
And it genuinely might not be our place to say, but is it time to try something new?
We would like to steal you for our new podcast. It's called Bad Chat.
And it sounds a bit like this.
This one goes out to the walkers and the talkers and the late night.
Stalkers.
Maybe not that one. Alice is my best friend. I am not Alice's best friend.
Do you know that horses' legs are their fingers?
That is a bit of bad chat. From me, Greg James.
And me, famously, Alice Levine.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.